Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week, we spoke of how Jesus manifested his power for the first time here on earth. How he turned water into wine, showing not only that he blessed marriage and families, but also that he was wastefully generous. Today, we will see a sort of continuation of that theme, but not perhaps in a way that we would normally think of it. It's probably hard for us in modern America to really understand the relationships between the various races of people in biblical times. To sum it up in a quote that I heard from a fellow theologian and a historian, at that period in time, everyone was a racist, at least by our definition of the terms, which is to say that everyone thought that their people were the best people, and that anyone who wasn't their people was lesser. That's important to understand when you hear our gospel text for today. In the minds of the Jewish people, the Romans weren't just evil because they had conquered them and were ruling over them, though that certainly didn't help the relationship. They were also uncircumcised Gentiles, that is to say, pagan and lesser in the minds of the Jews. Now, don't imagine that that makes the Jews out to be particularly bad among the people. The Romans would have thought of the Jews as being uncivilized barbarians who needed to be beat into submission every now and then in order to keep the peace. Again, the point here is that back then, everyone thought that other races were lesser. But then, Jesus comes along, and he starts doing things that no one else would do. He actually allows a centurion to come up to him and speak with him, and even goes so far as to heal the man's servant. He even would have been willing to actually go into the man's house and do this deed. He also allows a leper to come up, and even reaches out and touches the man to heal him. No one would have even contemplated doing such a thing. But Jesus did. Listen again, therefore, as our reading begins, and hear about how your Lord and Savior is the Lord of the outsiders. When he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will be clean." And Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them." This story occurs directly after the Sermon on the Mount. And so Jesus would have been up there teaching this group of people, and he comes down, and the first thing that happens to him is that a leper approaches him. And we have to understand a little bit about leprosy in order to know what's going on here. And I'm sure that most of you have heard this before, but it's good to remember that when you were a leper, you were a social outcast. Because people believed that if you were around them, if you even touched a leper, that you would catch the disease as well. Nowadays, leprosy goes by another name that I can't remember offhand. It's like Hapman's disease or Haram's disease or something like that. But we are actually able to fix leprosy very easily now with a simple pill. Back then, there was no cure. There was no way to fix the problem. The way that the disease works is that it attacks the nerves in your extremities, and it slowly deadens them so that you don't feel anything anymore. Slowly but surely, your skin starts almost rotting away, and your body parts will actually fall off as the disease progresses until you eventually die, usually from an infection that comes as a result of this. And so these people would have been exiled from their family, exiled from everyone that they knew, and forced to go and live out in a leper colony. These colonies where people are just sitting there suffering in this pain. And so this leper is actually quite bold and brave to be willing to approach Jesus, because they're not supposed to do this. They were actually supposed to walk around shouting out that they were lepers so that people knew not to come near them. But this man comes right up to Jesus, and he asks him, well, he doesn't really ask him, he just makes a statement, right? Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And then Jesus does something for this man that probably hasn't happened for him since he got the disease. And that is that he reaches out and touches the man. Of course, he also cleanses him. But this is what our Lord does. When somebody comes to him with something, our Lord reaches out and touches them. It doesn't matter what the problem is. It doesn't matter how contagious the disease is. It doesn't matter what's going to happen. Jesus will reach out and touch the person who needs that. This is our Lord. Our Lord who reaches out and touches the untouchable. But of course, this is still early in Jesus' ministry, and so he doesn't actually want people to quite realize what he's doing yet. And so he tells the man to not make a big deal about it, but to go ahead and fulfill the procedures that are prescribed in the law. There were procedures that God put in place as part of the Levitical code. This part is kind of just the sanitary part of that code, which basically is that somebody had to check a leper who claimed to be healed in order to make sure that he was actually healed so that the disease didn't start spreading. And so what Jesus does is he tells this man to go and do that. To go and bring the offering to the priest in order that the priest may check him and make sure that he is clean, that he has truly been healed. And so our Lord makes sure that even though Jesus himself is breaking the human aspect of that law, the aspect that you're not supposed to touch other people, that this man is fulfilling the godly aspect of that law. And yet, as amazing as that is, the next story is perhaps even more amazing. So listen again as our reading continues and as we hear about the centurion. When he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him. Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And he said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I, too, am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And to the centurion Jesus said, go, let it be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed at that very moment. This centurion is truly a remarkable man. First off, he was actually willing to go up to Jesus and ask for help. And remember, a centurion is an official in the Roman legions. He would have been basically the lieutenant in charge of about 100 other people. And so he would have been responsible for keeping peace in this land. He would have been the one that Pilate would have called to keep peace, probably in this area of Capernaum, if there had been an uprising or if people started to get rowdy. Which is to say that the Jewish people probably didn't like him at all. And this man would have known that. He would have known that the Jewish people weren't fond of him, and he would have known what it would have looked like if he approached Jesus in order to do this. He would have known that it would have shown Rome to be slightly weaker than what maybe Caesar would have wanted Rome to look. And yet, despite that, despite knowing that he was going to go up and ask a rabbi of the people who hated him to help, he did it. And this shows us that he cares about this servant. And it's very clear that it's not as if this servant is his son or anything like that. No, this is just a servant in his house. In fact, we see here that it uses an interesting word for this servant. It uses the word pies, which could also be translated as boy or young man, instead of using the word doulos, which can also be translated as servant, but which we more frequently translate as slave. What this tells us is that this centurion didn't view the people in his house as slaves, even though they probably were. Instead, he viewed them as his children, as people that he had a responsibility to take care of and to help. And so he reaches out to Jesus and asks for help, knowing that Jesus can, in fact, help. But interestingly enough, he does this in such a way that he's almost being more tactful than Jesus is here. Because you see, when he comes, Jesus says, "I will come and heal him." Which is, of course, meaning that Jesus will happily go along into the house of this uncircumcised Gentile and heal this servant, which would be breaking the law that the Pharisees put into place. And so the centurion knew this. And so he recognized that you can't come in. I'm not worthy, which is to say that your people don't think I'm worthy enough for you to come into my house. You don't have to. All that you have to do is say the word, and I know it will be done. And here we see the incredible faith of the centurion, that all that he wanted was for Jesus to speak his word, and he trusted that the servant would be healed. Jesus sees this faith, and he declares that this man has faith like no one else in Israel. He's one of the few people that Jesus declares as having great faith. And it's interesting to note that the majority of those people, if I remember correctly, are in fact Gentiles who he declares as having great faith. And this is no exception. Jesus then uses him as an example for his disciples and says, "Many will come from the east and the west and will recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." That is to say that Gentiles are going to be coming and being at this table. But then he goes on to say, "But the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness." Which is to say that it doesn't matter whose son or daughter you are. It doesn't matter if you are an actual descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It doesn't matter if you are a Jew of Jews. That what matters is, do you trust the word of God? And so, the question I suppose then is, where are you going to be? Are you going to be reclining at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Or are you going to be thrown into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth? Well, let's look at our actions. when someone comes to church and they are sick, do you welcome them? And I'm not talking about leprosy, and I'm not even talking about the cold, really, or anything like that. But what about when somebody who's a drunk comes to church, or somebody who is addicted to drugs? What about the person who has a mental or personality disorder? Do you welcome these people in your midst as Jesus welcomed the leper? What about the centurion? Do you welcome people who are different than you to this congregation? Again, we don't have to deal with Roman overlords, but think of it this way. When you look around at the people that are here gathered today, do you see people that are mostly like you are? People of a certain age or from a certain family? Do you welcome people who aren't like you? People who have a different way of living than you do. People who may not be connected to the congregation through extensive family trees that require flowcharts. We really aren't as good at being welcoming to the outsiders as Jesus was. And if we're not careful, that may lead to us looking around and realizing that we, in fact, are on the outside. Thanks be to our Lord and Savior that He is the Lord of the outsiders, that He is wastefully generous with us, and that even when we fail to live up to the standards that He sets for us, that He still reaches out to touch and heal us from those sins. That even though He knew that we would smear His name through the mud, that He still died on the cross for we who were outside the grace of God. That He continually and constantly is working to draw us into Him, to ensure that we will, in fact, be seated at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But also recognize that we ought not abuse the grace of our Lord, and that our Lord clearly desires to reach out to those who are outside His kingdom. You are free to live lives that honor your Lord. Your Lord who touched lepers, who touched us in our baptism and cleansed us from the leprosy of our sin. The Lord who healed the centurion's servants, who healed him even though he was an outsider to the Jews. Who came to us even though we are outsiders to the Jews. You are free to show the people around you in your life and your community that your Lord is still the Lord of the outsiders. That just as He reached out and touched you, just as He wants you to be a part of His kingdom, that He truly does desire that all would know that grace. They need that grace just as much as we do. And He has given them that very same grace that we received this day. Share that news with people. That forgiveness is theirs thanks to Christ, no matter what they've done. Because the same thing is true for you. And that forgiveness is truly yours now and into eternity. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.